couple of things before we get started. Number one, if you are a rhino, stick around. You might learn something. Number two, we call it like it is. So if you're a snowflake Democrat, you might want to leave because your feelings will get hurt. And number three, we just wanted to say thank you to this guy for all the great entertainment.
The best way to get something done, if you hold near and dear to you that you like to be able to... Anyway.
This is What's Happening America with your hosts, Josh and Lauren.
Welcome back to the show. We are excited to have you here. Lauren, how the heck are you?
I'm good. Happy Day of the Dead. Dia de los Muertos. I'm festive.
Do what? All right. What is Day of the Dead?
So Day of the Dead is a holiday in Latin America that they believe that their dead loved ones' souls come back and they get to feast and celebrate with them while their souls are there. And it is between November, what is it, like first and second? Oh, so Halloween's October 31st, and then November 2nd is All Souls Day or Day of the Dead. 2 years ago, I was in Mexico City today. I got to do the Day of the Dead thing.
Right there.
Yep, that's me with my face paint.
So did you see any dead people come back?
No, I didn't. Actually, it was the first year of COVID. It was pretty funny because I was on hydroxychloroquine. So I didn't. And it was way at the beginning. Everyone was masked up. Everyone. And then here's this gringa, this blonde gringa running around town. I had no mask on. People were like, whoa. Like, they couldn't believe this blonde girl running around. It was a lot of fun, though. I went and I hiked the ruins. And we went to Xochimilco Canals, where they have, the Isle of the Dolls. It's like kind of a creepy haunted place. It was pretty neat.
You know what's sad is when you said Day of the Dead before we started recording, I was like, what is that? And you explained it to me. And you know where my mind went? Coco.
That's what Coco's about.
Like, you have to keep a picture or something or remember them or else they can't come back, right?
I'm not sure. I know they do put the pictures there on little memorials. Normally it's the graves. So they have a big parade in Mexico City. Uh-huh. And there's an island down. I cannot remember the name of it. But there's an island down there where it's dedicated to it. And people all go out in little boats with lanterns. And they go on this island. And the island is just full of candles with the gravestones and they do the flowers. These flowers are kind of a big deal. And the sugar skulls, of course. And so they do have all these really cool events. And mostly it's the parade. And when I was there, they didn't have the parade because of coronavirus. And they shut down all the cemeteries, which kind of sucked too. But I still I went to the Day of the Dead ballet and everything. I saw all kinds of cool stuff. I did everything I humanly could while I was there that was open.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, we've got a lot to cover and we don't have a crazy amount of time to cover it. Let's start with John Fetterman and the Oz debate. Did you watch that?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. We're so far behind on the debates. Oh, that was a train wreck.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I did. It was one of those things where it was like, oh, gosh, there's no way. You think there's no way people elect him. But then I started feeling bad for him. I'm like, this is sad. It wasn't enjoyable to watch. And then I was like, oh gosh, I hope that people aren't stupid enough to vote for him based on that. But you know that they are. And there are people who are going to vote for him. I know that people are saying it's looking like Oz is going to take it. And then another outlet said that Fetterman was ahead right now.
No, everything I've seen Oz ahead on the polls. But, I've said this in another podcast. I don't think Oz is a great candidate either. I think he'll probably end up being a rhino or something. But better than, unfortunately, Fetterman. And watching it, like you said, I felt empathy. I was really sad for him. And I thought the first thing that came to my mind is your campaign team, your wife, whoever is enabling you in this position, are horrible human beings. Like, they do not care about your health. Like, you should be in rehabilitation. You should be taking time. Like, you and I know campaign trails are super stressful.
Yeah.
Could you imagine in that state medically doing what we did in the campaign trail? I mean, I just can't even imagine it.
Well, it's even worse because he's the candidate, right?
Right.
You and I could hide behind each other and, you know, lean on my expertise or your expertise in an area. But when you're the candidate, you are expected to talk. You're expected to present your ideas. And I mean, half of what he said just did not make any sense. So it's really sad. I hope he loses, and then I'll be adding him to my prayer list of people to pray for after that. Yeah. So with that, did you check out the Florida debates between Governor DeSantis and his opponent?
A little bit. So Charlie Crist? Is that mm-hmm. how you say it? That guy, yeah. His campaign manager just got caught for domestic violence.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he got popped for domestic violence. So it's pretty, I've been pretty crazy on Twitter when he posts stuff. But yeah, I didn't really watch a lot of that one, actually. I was like, DeSantis is going to win. There's no question. He's already pulling 9 points ahead.
Right. Were there any others across the state, or excuse me, country, that you saw that really stuck out to you?
Yeah, so I watched Herschel Walker and Warnock. Mm-hmm. And I thought that one was really interesting because Warnock like straight brazenly lied. And when Herschel went to him and said, hey, you've been handing out eviction notices to people because of during the COVID stuff. And so like mm-hmm. his church that he's a pastor for, they give him like $7,600 in housing allowance. Well, and they're kind of a part of the apartment scheme. I guess he owns a bunch of apartments. Mm-hmm. He was evicting people for like, one was for like $118. And he came out and he said, no, that's a total lie. That didn't happen. And people immediately were like, oh no, yes, that happened. Like, we've talked to the people who got the notices.
Yeah.
I mean, he brazenly lied. It's pretty crazy to see. Who else did I see? Oh, I watched Lee Zeldin. Because one of my best friends from the Air Force, her family is like really close friends with Lee. Mm. And so he's a really good guy. Like, he went to her grandma's funeral and stuff. Really cool dude. He did Kathy Hochul, and that was kind of an interesting one. It was a little bit more mild tempered. Oh, Kathy Hochul said a blunder. She's like, why do you care about crime or something like that? People were like, whoa. Yeah, they're like, okay, she barely doesn't understand why anyone cares about crime in her state. Yeah.
Insane. You know, one I would have loved to see would have been Carrie Lake and her opponent, Katie Hobbs. Is that her name? But Katie refuses to debate. Here's an interesting fact, and this is not something that, you know, people can say, oh, that's a conspiracy. Because Katie Hobbs' twin sister was caught on camera saying it. And that's mm-hmm. that, hey, we actually donated to Carrie Lake. And it was because we knew we had a better chance of beating a Trump Republican. Doesn't seem that way. So I think Carrie Lake's going to take that one.
$400 million from the DNC went to right-wing extremist candidates because they thought that their candidate would have a better shot at beating the right-wing extremist candidate. And it's not turning out that way. Katie Hobbs, have you ever seen her speak?
No, not really.
Okay, so she sat down with a Latin channel, TV news channel, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And they asked her, like, she lives in Arizona. There are a ton of Hispanic people there, mm-hmm. right? And so she sat down and she was having this conversation. They were basically like, what are Latin people to you? And she's like completely stone-faced, lost all words, and was like, they're hard workers. And people were like, what? Like the guy even tried to like lead her into it. He's like, you don't know anyone who's a Latin American or Hispanic that you could relate to or say. And she was like, so after I saw that, I was like, Katie Hobbs should not debate because she's terrible at speaking.
Yeah. Wow. That's insane. You have family that lives in Arizona, right?
I do. I'm actually going in a couple of weeks. So maybe you'll get a little bit of that landscape behind me.
Yeah.
My uncle's got his own little like ranchette, Dr. Doolittle with all these animals. So maybe we'll get some like dusty Arizona animals, cactus, going on.
You know what? I've been to Arizona as a child, and I guess I just didn't pay attention. I could not believe how large cactus got. I was just there like 2 weeks ago.
The sequoias are huge.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Two stories. You're like, holy smokes. So.
Yeah, they're super big.
Yeah, you know, the cartoons just don't prepare you for them when you're growing up.
It's the cartoons. So. You're like, I get all my Southwestern news from the cartoons.
Yeah. Well, and then the Roadrunners, I mean, they're what? Really small. They're the size of like a chicken, height-wise.
Yeah, and the coyotes are chasing them with dynamite. And...
yeah, it's ridiculous. Arizona is a wild place, and I wish Carrie Lake the best.
Yeah, she's going to have fun. I'm excited. I think her and Blake Masters. I watched Blake Masters behind the scenes on Fox Nation. And it was so cool to me because you and I did this, right? We were on the campaign trail and it shows them going to like rural churches and talking to 30 people. I'm like, man, that, I mean, it just brings up memories. It was very nostalgic for me. I even messaged our candidate and I was like, oh, you should watch this. It reminds me of us.
Yeah. Well, you know what? A lot of times politicians, they don't realize the impact that that has going to those places. Look, even if you're meeting with 30 people, if you get people passionately behind you as a candidate, they're going to go passionately tell 8 people to vote for you. And those 8 people will vote for you. And they're going to have firsthand experience from that other person who's going to tell them why. And then they're going to go say, I'm voting for this person and here's why I heard why. Right. So it can have a big impact. So, well, we just had an election here in Brazil that...
not here, but here there. In
Brazil, right? Well, it's still, look.
You're not in Brazil. South America,
right? So, no, in South America and Brazil, they had the election over there. And you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Lula and Bolsonaro. So Bolsonaro was a very Trump-esque candidate. Mm-hmm. He had done a lot of stuff. I've watched a lot of his interviews. He basically, Brazil has a huge number one corruption problem and number two cartel problem. Mm-hmm. And so he was arresting cartel members and he had them all in the same jail, Bolsonaro, because he's been the president for the last few years. And he had put them in jail for distributing and you know what I mean? And basically the whole riffraff. And what he would do is if somebody in a cartel out on the streets got popped and their leader was in his jail, they would like punish the leader. Like if you do something wrong and I find out what cartel you're in, your cartel leader that's sitting in my prison is not going to get food for 2 days. And so, it was incredibly effective for reducing crime, ironically, right? Like he really helped. It was kind of a cool, I was like, wow, that's a really neat concept. Not that I would advocate us doing it. I would need to mull it around in my head some more, but I think for them, like as rampant as their corruption is, I thought that's a pretty cool thing to do. So anyway, he was setting this example. They caught, oh, he's the far right candidate. He's far right. Okay, whatever. Lula, his issue was Lula was busted for corruption and he was sentenced to, I want to say like 22 years. So he was sentenced to 22 years. And then Glenn Greenwald, which again, he's more conservative writer, but he lives in Brazil. He actually did some deep diving on it and found out that the judge that sentenced Lula was corrupt himself. So with that reporting, they were able to get Lula out of jail, like exonerate him. Mm-hmm. So that made him eligible to run against Bolsonaro. But Lula is a cartel. He's a lawyer by trade, but he's like a cartel lawyer, right? Mm-hmm. So he is totally invested. I believe he's a cartel. Yeah, I think that's what we were talking about this the other night. So he's completely invested in all the corruption stuff. And when he won, what happened is there was like 5 regions in Brazil. And of the 5 regions, 4 of them voted for Bolsonaro, like well above the threshold. And one of them voted for Lula. And it happens to be the most populous and the most poverty and the most corrupt one section of Brazil did this, and it swung the entire election. And people were suspecting, I mean, they were talking about this. They said there's election fraud, you know, and this was kind of the thing. But according to the, constitution, mm-hmm. like Bolsonaro is not allowed to claim election fraud for 72 hours. So today he just came out And he said, okay, now, I think there was election fraud. Basically, from what I was reading, and you can see the article from the National Pulse that we pulled, there's no way to determine if it was fraudulent or not, because it's all done digital and electronic. And so there's no way to do like recounts or audits. So this will be really interesting. And they've really blocked it out from social media. It's really been a blackout, but I've kind of been digging and trying to find this stuff. There are like complete protests going on. So, I mean, you got to imagine it said like 50 something million voted for each of these candidates.
Yeah.
So you have like 50 million people in Brazil right now protesting. And they said that the police have joined them in protesting, like the local police, the city police, at the Sao Paulo police have, and then so have, they're trying to get the military in. So we could be seeing a coup if they can convince the military brass. The problem is the Supreme Court in Brazil is totally corrupt and they basically are the authority. So the Lula is doing the transfer right now, even though he's been kind of told not to, he's still doing it because he doesn't care. But what'll happen is if Lula gets in, he is going to convict anyone and everyone because the Supreme Court is corrupt. So the Supreme Court is going to throw Bolsonaro in jail, all of his supporters in jail. Right now, the truckers and the farmers, they're all staging protests. Kind of sounds familiar, but not for that, right? They think that their election was cheated and they're all throughout Brazil right now. And those people will go to jail. Like they will jail like the truckers and we don't know what's going to happen, right? I mean, legitimately, according to Brazil, Lula won.
Interesting. You know, I have a friend who lives. Yeah, I know. I have a friend who lives down there, and I tried to get a hold of him before the episode. He's an American, was born in back east, and he's lived in Brazil for, I think, 10 years now, 15 years. And, you know, he jokes that he married the one Brazilian who doesn't want to leave the country to come to the United States. But, you know, he talked about it. I remember years ago we were talking about it and he's like, we finally have a conservative. We're excited. He's pretty much the Trump of Brazil, you know, and it seemed like everything was going better. You know, keep in mind, it's still Brazil, right? And I was giving you an example of how the country runs. The bank runs out of money like quarterly. So what happens is my friend, him and his wife, they build really small houses for starter homes for the poor, right? And sell them to them. And they were building houses and they build like three or four. And then they'd have to wait for the bank to get money so that they could get the people who were buying it a loan. And I mean, last I talked to him, He had two houses that he was waiting to sell and he was thinking it was going to be another 3 months before the banks had the money. And it's literally the developers down there. And keep in mind, he's not some big wealthy developer. He's building small homes for people. The people down there, they line up. There's a lot of people developing. And if you don't get your person their loan first, you're out of luck for at least 3 months.
It's interesting because, well, if Lula gets in, it's going to be more destabilized because, I mean, even when he won, the people who were congratulating him or celebrating, they were celebrating his win, were the cartels, were people in jails. I mean, there's videos floating around social media of like the most corrupt, you know, of the society celebrating Lula's win. So I don't think that your friend's financial woes are going to get better under this guy.
No. No, they're not, you know, and you're absolutely correct. Brazil is a extremely corrupt place. I know my friend one time he was sleeping. It was the middle of the night and police were at his front door. He didn't know who they were, right? Because it was late. And, you know, in Brazil, you have to, in most places, you have, you know, a wall and barbed wire surrounding your house. And it's just that's how it is. You can't. Yeah. His kid doesn't even play outside unless an adult's there. So it's one of those things that, he didn't know who it was. They got through and next thing you know, his wife, luckily he grabbed his pistol, which, you know, he's legally not supposed to have, grabbed his pistol. Cause he didn't know who was at his door. He thought it was people coming to rob and kill him.
Yeah.
And, his wife yelled, that there were police. So he immediately threw it, dropped on the ground and he's like, Josh, he's like, I've never been this close to death because in Brazil, the cops are known for, comply 1,000%, or we just shoot and kill you and move on. So it's,
well, and for having a gun alone, he probably would have got capped just for having the gun.
Yeah, I think he was lucky because it kind of fell like under his wife or something who is from Brazil. So,
oh, okay.
But they took it and he did. He's like, I'm not even going to try to argue with them and get it back. I'm just going to call it a day. So, but yeah,
we can go get another one.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to watch and see what continues to develop down there on the ground. And like I said, I'll try and reach out to my friend again and see if we can't find out more information to update the listeners with. But let's go ahead and move on. Seems like right now we're sticking with the South America theme. We've got the Day of the Dead. We've got Brazil. Let's go ahead and move on to leaked documents that actually outline the Department of Homeland Security's plans to police disinformation. You want to talk about that?
Yes. So this is a crazy story. It's about a 30-minute read. It's on The Intercept. And it's a really good, really well-written article, and it's kind of lit in the internet on fire right now because, as we know, Joe Rogan did the podcast with Zuckerberg, and he admitted to working with feds, right? Mm-hmm. And we've all suspected it anyways, but what happened was the Attorney General Eric Schmidt out of Missouri, but him in Louisiana, I think the Attorney General in Louisiana as well, they filed suit, and they pulled FOIA, and they got a treasure trove of information. And so a little bit of background on the DHS stuff is obviously the Patriot Act, right? Kind of allowed the government to meander into our lives a little bit more than we would have liked. And unfortunately, it's kind of a crazy story because it erected under Trump. So in 2018, Trump created the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and the act was passed in 2018, and it was under DHS Acting Secretary Wolf, Chad Wolf. So what Wolf did, unbeknownst to Trump probably, is he created a panel of about 15 people. So this agency falls under DHS.
Mm-hmm.
So DHS highlights, we're worried about domestic terrorism. So it kind of gave them the free-for-all, and the FBI got involved. And so all these different agencies had all this access. So he created a panel of 15 people to monitor the 2020 election. So those people who were instilled and created under Trump were not Trump's friend, right? Because as the article in The Intercept explains, the Hunter Biden laptop was complete. They called it disinformation, and the feds they leaked that there was going to be a treasure trove of Russian disinformation coming out. And it was that warning was immediately followed by the laptop drop. So they scrubbed New York Post's article about it, though it was 100% factual. Mm-hmm. And since then, they've walked it back. It is legitimate and authenticated. The Hunter Biden laptop is real. But 23% said that that would have affected their vote. So essentially, by doing that, by preventing that information from getting out, it was election interference. And apparently they've been doing a lot of election interference. And in the article, it talks a lot about the communications between the two. Basically, the Vijaya, the girl who was just fired from Twitter. Yeah.
I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Yes. So she... there's stuff in there about how it's like the CISA, so that organization, the cyber organization I just explained, they went to her and they went to like Google and they had big conferences. And basically she drafted a document of stating how it would be easier to get information back and forth through the government and social media platforms, which is crazy. So there was an outlet, they said Facebook had a server set up where the feds could just push whatever they wanted. I mean, just an open channel to push whatever they wanted. And Facebook came in and blocked all of the things they asked. They would like heighten the level. And I've read a lot of the internal communications. It's incredibly frustrating because this is a violation of our First Amendment, because that is the infringement of your free speech from the government. And this is government agency, you know, dabbling in social media and preventing posts. And a lot of it had to do with COVID-19. Some of it had to do with the Afghanistan withdrawal. So hard to listen to or like read it.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been all over. Like this is a complete sham. Like this is crazy that they've been all over it. And we've tasted just a little bit of freedom since Elon bought Twitter, and it's leaps and bounds better just in the couple of days he's had it. So it's, collusion. It's a violation of our First Amendment rights. And I hope there's lawsuits. I hope everybody sues them.
Yeah. It would seem that he hasn't actually, just based on his tweets, that he hasn't actually done much there. Just culturally, I think people understand that, hey, the new standard is don't censor things that you don't like just because you don't like it. You know, the thing about the First Amendment is the First Amendment isn't to protect popular speech. It's to protect unpopular opinions. And we should be able to say those opinions. An example of a situation where we've had our First Amendment blocked was on YouTube. We just released last week a interview we did with a doctor, and they have completely restricted it and given us our final warning. So there's a good chance we may be off of YouTube soon, but we are on Rumble. And a lot of people probably wonder why we have doubles of the videos. It's because it goes from YouTube right there, but we also back it up because we understand that YouTube is a platform that is about censorship. That's what they're about. If they don't agree with you, and we've seen it over petty things too. I've seen it where they've canceled men who were, I would say, wealthy, didn't really care what other people thought, and kind of just did their thing. They've canceled them. We've seen that a lot. So I think it's important that that people also make sure to follow us on Rumble.
Yes. So YouTube is a high censorship platform. But what we need to remember is the First Amendment is very specific to government stuff. So let's say the owner of YouTube decided, I don't want Josh's video because I don't like the way his hair looks. I mean, right. As the owner of, depending on, you know, are they run by a board? Are they privately owned? I mean, he could do that, right? Like he could be like, nah, Josh's hair is silly and I don't want him on this video, or I'm going to ban the video. But that's not what was happening. What's happening is there is now factual evidence and documents proving that the government, I mean, they even came out and said they realized, they even knew, they're trying to cover their tracks. They're like, we can't just outright ban people's speech, even working backdoor with these media leaderships. So they came out and they said, let's fund NGOs to have the, so the government was going to dish money out to NGOs, and those NGOs were going to turn around and send the marching orders essentially to the social media companies. So it's all about government intervention. We've been completely bamboozled, and who knows how much we've missed? Like, who knows how much interference? I mean, we know for COVID, right? And we know for sure that, I mean, we like doctors getting banned left and right. Oh, you saying that the vaccine doesn't prevent transmission, you would get banned. I'm absolutely insane, because as we're finding out, right? Like even the Pfizer CEO came out and said, no, we never tested it on preventing transmission. So
yeah.
Lots of crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's insane. And just the fact that you mentioned COVID is going to get this video restricted on there. So it is, I mean, it is what it is. And that's why we need to support free speech platforms. And that's why I do say, hey, make sure that you do go to a place like Rumble. Find our channel there. Listen there.
Blur me out.
I'm not going to blur your words out because it's important. Look, you're absolutely correct. Again, it goes back to, and here's the thing, going back to the COVID thing, right? That's what got our last video blocked, was the conversations about COVID. But I shot a video for an organization with Dr. Ryan Cole. And in that video, it got, I don't know, within inside of a week, almost like 4 million views across, you know, two platforms. And we had NFL people, quarterback sharing it. We had tons of that because people were starving for information, and YouTube took it down. So it's one of those things where, you know, censorship, it's dangerous, and they don't realize, I think, a lot of times the dangerous game that they're playing, and getting government involved in anything is absolutely a horrible idea.
Well, and right now, as we're filming this podcast, Joe Biden is on stage having a misinformation. He's talking about how Republicans are dangerous to democracy. Now, I didn't watch it because obviously I'm here. I don't know if he had the red light behind him and if he was doing the whole Temple of Doom thing again. But this guy, they genuinely believe, and I listened to Jean-Pierre this morning in her taking questions on the press release. And she was stating, like, basically they said, okay, so you're saying that Republicans winning the next midterm is dangerous for democracy, because how, like, people participating in democracy are dangerous to democracy. And she said, well, they're election deniers and they, you know, they push misinformation and it's dangerous for people. And she's going on and on. And I can't help but step back and watch all this, because even if I don't think that the election, whether it's Brazil or in America, whether I think it was fake or not, doesn't really matter, because we're still a two-party, it does matter, but we're a two-party system, right? And I recognize both parties. The problem is the other party right now looks at conservatives and Republicans as absolutely dangerous. They cannot win by any means, and we have to prevent them from winning because it would be dangerous to the rest of the people. And that in itself is a dangerous ideologic take on this. Like, sorry, I can't believe that they're allowing this. And Biden is propping this narrative up that Republicans can't win just because they're dangerous. They can't win on anything. They won't even touch one of the five top national concerns, you know, per polling. They won't even touch it. I mean, all they want to talk about is Roe v. Wade and January 6th. And at the end of the day, nobody cares about that. Like, we are watching our 401ks drain. You know, we are running out. We have troops, boots on ground now in Ukraine. Like, that's a whole other thing, right? Like, totally lied to us. Like,
John Fetterman cares about Roe v. Wade.
Does he care about boots on the ground in Ukraine now?
No. Ugh, no, that's why he said, I don't want
years to go there.
I care about Roe v. Wade.
What is this stupid slogan that row, 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 row your vote? Slogan they do. So Biden, back to that. I mean, there's so much to talk about. So Biden, back to that. He's been gaffing. Are you okay? Like, you're like,
disgusting. I am fine.
All right. So he's a ghost. You're a little late for Halloween.
It's Day of the Dead. So
it is Day of the Dead. Maybe I'm talking to Josh's soul. So it's interesting because he's been gaffing a lot in the last 24 hours. So yesterday he told everyone that Beau Biden, so his son, who died of a brain tumor, he said that he died in Iraq, which was totally false. He came out and he said that inflation has gone down, which is totally false. He said he met the inventor of insulin, who died in 1954. Totally false. He said, and then today he came out and he said he cut the national debt in half. Did you know that?
No.
He cut the national debt in half? He said that, yes.
I know he said that gas prices are lower than when he took office.
Yes. So that's obviously what he was trying. And okay. Oh, the other thing he said, which I thought was really funny, is he went to an HBCU. Now, if you know what that is, it's like a black college. It's a college for African Americans. So he told everyone he went to an HBCU. And this is the second time he's gaffed that. And Reuters came out and tried to like cover his butt and be like, no, what he meant to say was, you know, this Delaware college, not this one. But he did it again yesterday. I mean, the guy doesn't know anything. And back to the Fetterman stuff. I mean, I think his wife is abusing him by people kept calling everyone an ableist. I don't think I'm an ableist. I think she's abusing a disabled person. And I don't think Jill's much different.
No, yeah, I'd agree with that. Well, we got two more things I want to cover here real quick before we call it a day. First being is a subject I didn't actually brief you on, but I'm sure you're well aware of it. And that's that we are running dangerously low, not only on gas, but now diesel. Did you see that?
25 days.
Yeah. So, and interestingly enough, in order to deliver the diesel, it takes diesel trucks.
Diesel.
To pull the diesel. Yep. So it's, it's a scary time and an alarming time, not only, you know, in America, but worldwide. We know that in England, they are actually preparing talking points for, you know, what it's going to be like and how to survive the winter. And it's going to be really bad. And they're anticipating a lot of deaths in Europe. And, you know, I think that in some ways they're trying to prepare us as well by letting us know we're running low. But we got to get through November election before they say anything actually definitive. Like, hey, guys, we're screwed.
So since we talked last, UK, the PM, right, was replaced. Mm-hmm. So it was Truss. And then they brought in I can't remember his name, starts with an S, but they brought the other guy in, right? And Truss resigned. But it was really interesting because before she resigned, she said that her phone was hacked. And then it got leaked the other day that the Brits had something to do with the Nord Stream pipe explosion.
Really?
Yes. And so, which makes sense. So there's only a handful of people who could have done underwater demolitions. But anyway, so Kim.com on Twitter, I don't know if you guys know who he is.
Yeah. He's
kind of like a hacker type guy, big guy. And he came out and he said something along the lines of like, well, I have administrative access to like iCloud accounts, administrative accounts and stuff, because he's a hacker. And he alluded to the fact that, and I don't know if this is true or not, so don't quote me, but I mean, he's alluding to it, and it makes sense in the timeline that Truss got, she sent out a text message after the pipes exploded, and it went to Blinken. So our Secretary of State went to Blinken and said, it's done. Like, it's done was the text. So the pipe explodes before it becomes even public. She texts us to Blinken. This is, again, this is just hackers talking about what they're seeing on these people's phones. And then immediately afterwards, she says, my phone's hacked. Then she gets booted out of the PM position in England. And then this new guy shows up. But I'm not surprised if that's what happened. But again, that's a conspiracy. But it's just a theory. I don't know. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. It's insane. Well, hopefully we get it figured out where we have diesel and gas taken care of. You know, I mean, worst case scenario, we don't want to have super high gas prices, diesel prices, because that impacts everything. Of course, a lot of heating in houses, things like that. But at the same time, of the food that we eat, the crops that are grown by farmers, it's diesel that they use. So if they're having to go from paying X amount of dollars to 10 bucks a gallon or 15, we're going to feel that and have that impact at the grocery store.
Yep, that's going to be in your costs.
All right.
It's unfortunate. Everyone go stock up.
Yeah, if you're not a prepper, you might want to think about becoming one. All right, last thing we need to talk about is underwear and hammers. And I'm not talking about Russia.
Oh, boy. We're like 4 or 5 days late on this, which really kind of makes me sad. So...
Except on our website, if you go to idahospodcast.com, you can see under our store, we are not late on this. Go check it out.
Yeah, there's an Easter egg in there for you guys. So Paul Pelosi, oh boy. And I back to talking about like having to be very clear about conspiracies versus not. I mean, I have my own opinion of what I think happened, but reading through all the stuff. So about 2:30 in the morning, there was a welfare call placed to go check out Paul Pelosi's residence in San Francisco. Apparently an intruder. I mean, there's so many different details here. So you've got the criminal complaint came out. And so that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with what the criminal complaint says. Even though the criminal complaint, they do talk about how they can't, they don't give all the facts in it. It was just a blanket statement. I think a lot of the FBI's use, they don't actually put all the facts out. It's just a criminal complaint to be able to tie up the David DePappy guy, the hammer nudist, whatever. So initially this happened. It was the break-in. Paul Pelosi was in surgery because his skull had been hit. And people were like, this guy, his house got broken into by a MAGA person, which I thought was pretty crazy. That doesn't really make a lot of sense. Okay. And then if you go to the articles, like on LA Times, it gives you a link to this dude's blog proving he was MAGA. So a lot of people went and looked at the blogs, like the origins of the blog and the code source, like code, I don't know how to code, but they were looking at it. And that personal blog was created in September of this year. And they had put posts up from August. So trying to make it look like it was an active blog and that this guy was a right-wing extremist. Okay, so turns out not true, right? Guy's an illegal alien, way overstayed his visa from Canada. They go to his house. It's got Black Lives Matter flags and all of these things, right? So the guy is clear. He's a nudist, leftist, drug addict, right? And so he's a total drug addict. But anyway, he apparently breaks into Paul's house at 2:23 in the morning. They got the 911 call at 2:31. The cops showed up. Like, it's pretty good timing. I bet you no one else in San Francisco has that kind of service. When the door was open, Pelosi and DePappy were both holding a hammer with one hand, and DePappy had his other hand holding onto Pelosi's forearm. Pelosi greeted the officers. So if you can imagine that scenario, I wish I could just draw it, because I don't know how that went. Did they have one hammer, both of them, and holding, and he open the, it says the door was open. Was there a third person there? We talked about, oh, the cops came out and said, no, there wasn't a third person. But like, who opened the door? They're fighting over the hammer. Like, I don't know what's going on.
The criminal complaint, actually, if you continue reading it, does go into a lot more detail. What I've seen, right, is I heard the same things you have. Right-wing extremists, yada, yada. And then we hear a woman gave an interview where she said, no, they're nudists there. You know, they have gay, you know, Black Lives Matter here. They're pro-homosexuality, all these things. So it's like, you know, it doesn't make sense. I'm not sure what it is. But when you do look at it, what the FBI is at least saying in their criminal complaint that they filed is that he was pro-right-wing. That he did show up there and he was asking for Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. In that thing you sent me, it's in there. Yeah, you gotta go back and read it some more. They are aligning that he may have been radicalized, but I have to say, I hate to say this because it used to be a great, you know, thing for our country, but it's the FBI. So, I don't really know. Yeah. I don't know what it is. They allude that he is actually, in fact, a right winger, but it doesn't make sense with what's reported.
So the Where's Nancy, I saw them come out with this and I heard Biden talk about this. They said, he said, Where's Nancy? Just like the J6ers did at the Capitol. They're using those two words to conflate him with a right wing extremist because of what happened at J6.
Right.
Which is nuts to use those two words. So I'm not allowed to say, where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? I mean, anyone's allowed to say that. I don't know what that has to do with him being right wing at all.
Yeah.
And the blog was taken down. He doesn't even, there's no source that this guy is right wing.
No. And even in the criminal complaint, I should be clarify, it doesn't allude that he is right wing. But it does say something like that he had planned on asking her questions. And if she answered, he was not going to harm her. But if she answered dishonestly, he was going to break her legs. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
That's nuts. I was like trying to get through this thing. And because his story is in it too. And he talks about, it talks about his story a little bit differently, right?
Like, yeah, and maybe I'm mixing up the two, but essentially it's worth checking out on justice.gov, checking it out. But yeah.
Well, we wish him we want him to get better, even though he likes DUIs and sometimes there's, you know, 2:30 in the morning. Well, and they came out today, the Capitol Police, didn't know this. Nancy Pelosi has Capitol Police like a station near her house. They have an entire section of the Capitol Police that are stationed in San Francisco. And those guys were supposed to be watching and they weren't. How did this guy get by security? I don't understand. And if you watch the videos, if you look at the helicopter video of the patio, all of the glass is broken onto the patio, which means it was broken from the inside. So like, I don't understand. None of it makes sense. And I feel bad for Paul. That sucks. Nobody deserves a hammer to the head. That's crazy. But they're trying to make this out to be right wing because we're 8 days from an election.
Right.
Right. That's exactly what they're doing. This guy is not right wing and he's an illegal immigrant and he's a drug addict. And this guy fits like three of the top five topics in America right now that citizens are concerned with: illegal immigration, crime, and drug addiction. Like, he is I'm not saying that we should use him as a prop because we're not Democrats, so we wouldn't do that. I don't think that anyone should be getting hit in the head with a hammer, but what on earth to call him a MAGA person and try to spin it as such that we like political violence? Like, actually, this guy bats for your team.
And here's an example of how much political violence we don't actually like. Conservatives are peaceful. We are willing to protect ourselves. We are willing to defend ourselves, but we're peaceful. There was a group of, I guess it would have been 4 months ago. It was during the summer of conservatives who went, and oftentimes conservatives do carry sidearms. They went to check out and make sure that there wasn't going to be a kids drag show. And Antifa decided to show up with firearms as well. And they said
this was in Texas.
Yes. And they said they were there to protect them. And this is how much conservative. Yeah, cool. You can be security, but it was more of an intimidation factor they were going for. So conservatives decided, we're going to leave. We're not going to get into a fight, because at the end of the day, we generally want to be left alone when, and we don't want our kids sexualized. If you do that, we're pretty happy. So,
well, and that's even that's a tall order right now. Right. And that's what they're saying. A lot of these people are going to win based on children's stuff, whether it's trans issues and, you know, chop shopping your kid, or whether it's school board stuff, the porn, all that. I mean, they're saying that those are the candidates that come out against it are the ones that are going to win.
And I think so.
I can't wait.
I do think so. And here's the thing. People tend to think, we were actually talking about it on a podcast yesterday. People said, oh, you know, we've become more far right than we used to be. And I said, I don't think it's necessarily that we've changed. What it is that information has changed. It used to be you wouldn't hear about what was being voted on unless you went down to the Capitol and were listening. Then we got the internet. Then we started getting real-time votes as the information became easier to access. Now we know what's being voted on before it's being voted on in most cases. So we have an opportunity now where we can say, wait, that doesn't align with our values as conservatives.
Well, 15 years ago, if you had slipped let's let children not tell their parents and do transgender reassignment surgery into a bill as a Democrat, that would have been a death sentence.
Oh, yeah.
So the issue here, like for their campaign, they'd be done. So you have a Democrat that's here, you know, let's say here, and you got the Republicans that are here, but what's really happening is we're not moving right, they're moving farther left. So it widens that gap. The goalposts are shifting, because 10-15 years ago we would not be talking about pornography in our children's schools. So here we are talking about pornography in children's schools and how you're a bigot if you don't identify as, you know, if you don't agree with identifying as a, like, Mickey Mouse or whatever it is, you know. So it's pretty wild what's happening. It's frustrating, and they're moving the goalposts. We are not far right. We are still, you know, I would argue a lot of my friends are very libertarian. I'm kind of libertarian. I, again, leave me alone. I don't want any part of this. Just kind of like, let me do my own thing. But they can't do that. They have the government in my social media, and they've got the school boards, you know, doing this radical, you know, stuff in the libraries. They won't leave us alone.
Right. Absolutely. Well, Lauren, I think we're going to call it a wrap there, but we do want to let people know that we're going to have a consistent show. So as you know, we have multiple shows in the lineup of the What's Happening family. So you'll have What's Happening Idaho Mondays. Tuesdays, you'll have What's Happening America. Wednesday will be another one. We haven't decided all those, but, and then Thursday will be What's Happening Gem State, which is our newest show, which airs tomorrow. And that is with Brian Allman. It is going to be a phenomenal show. I'm super excited about it. And look, the big thing we try and do with all of our shows is make sure they are not repetitive. They are not redundant. So it is a very different take on things. And the style, I mean, you'll see it. His style is so much different. I mean, my goodness, when me and Lauren get together, our style is a lot different than mine is, you know, with What's Happening Idaho. Because look, with What's Happening Idaho, it's more of that Judeo-Christian perspective. Me and Lauren, we like to think that we're actually younger. So sometimes we like to get a little bit rowdier and talk about Day of the Dead. So,
yeah, I will say the dead. And do we want to talk about am I going to do the Lord?
Yes, that is another thing. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if you want to mention or not. Okay, so there's so much national news happening, and I keep getting, you know, feedback like it's not on the ball, it's not on time. And trust me, like I get really sad and upset because I'm not pushing it out, because I'm watching the news every day and I'm focusing as hard as I can to get you information that's pertinent, right? So I'm going to start doing 15 to 20 minute segments called Lauren on the Fly, because I had Lauren on the Ground. So we're running with that theme. I'm Lauren on the Fly now. But I'm going to give you 15 to 20 minute segments a few times a week, so that in between the deep dives that Josh and I do, you get a little blit of a blitz of what's happening in our country throughout the week, so that you stay up to date. I don't want our viewers to not be up to date. And I know you have a hard time finding trusted information. So I hope if I can provide that to you on the fly, and then once a week you listen to Josh and I, and we give you a little bit more in-depth information.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. So awesome. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And everybody, make sure to check out the podcast. You know what? Actually, let me say this. I'm going to do one more plug real quick because I need to. Okay. If you enjoy this content or any of our content, make sure to go to idahostpodcast.com. Under there, you'll see where you can become a sustaining member. Make sure to do that. We have ranges as low as, I think, $2.99 all the way up to what I call the Helen Hunt Ultra Mega Barbara Streisand, which is $19.99 a month. Any support you can get, give, we'd appreciate. On that note, everybody, take care.
A couple of things before we get started. Number one, if you are a rhino, stick around. You might learn something. Number two, we call it like it is. So if you're a snowflake Democrat, you might want to leave because your feelings will get hurt. And number three, we just wanted to say thank you to this guy for all the great entertainment.
The best way to get something done, if you hold near and dear to you that you like to be able to... Anyway.
This is What's Happening America. What's happening America? If it's happening in the United States, we're talking about it. And man, do we have opinions. Bold. Funny. And true conservatives. No rhinos here. What's happening America? With your hosts, Josh and Lauren.